I just got through telling somebody during our break that this was the session that I was dreading more than any of the others, because it's the one that I'm most excited about, but it's harder to tell about a devotional than anything else. I wished we had about 3 full days, and each hour we could just experience a neat devotional, but we can't do that, so we'll try to recreate them a little bit. I think any youth worker, when we start thinking about devotionals, needs to be aware of one attitude that it's important for us to take. For some reason, the youth ministry often attracts people who like to be front people. We like to appeal to the teenagers, and sometimes we almost form a celebrity type attitude. That will do more detriment and harm to your devotionals and the spiritual growth of your kids than anything. If we're trying to bring glory and praise to ourselves and get people to look at us rather than the Lord. So that's my little freebie, and after that we'll go on. You know, when I think of devotionals, I can think of some of the most beautiful times that I've spent with my kids, and then I can think of some times that we have bombed out. And usually, the reasons we have bombed out have been my fault and my attitude, and we're going to talk about those pretty much. I might leave this place and y'all think I'm the biggest failure that ever was, but I believe that you grow as much from my failures as you do my successes. And so that's why I like to share some of those with you as well. Devotionals are a special time to worship God. I don't know a better definition than that. A special time to worship God. It's a time for us to really create an atmosphere that can cause our kids to become closer with the Lord and with each other. But I think devotionals have been really misused in the past in ways such as, we've got a neat class plan, but whoops, class is over, you have nothing else to say, there's 7 more minutes left, so you just sit down and we all bow our heads and we close with a spontaneous devotional. Or, you know your class is too short, so we start with a spontaneous devotional. Or, it's Sunday night, it's tradition with your kids to have a devotional, so it's devotional time, and we get together. Those are attitudes that can really hurt. I think devotional times need to be as planned and organized as any other worship period, even spontaneous devotionals. Now, does that make sense? How do you plan a spontaneous devotional? It's going to appear, by maybe some of the things that I say, that most of our devotionals are unbelievable, flamboyant, you know, Las Vegas type, flashy light type things. No. We have these periodically. Our kids really get into spontaneous devotionals more often than they do the big plan ones. And why? Because our kids like to lead. So we have a lot of times that are strictly spontaneous, but yet inside me there's things churning all the time trying to make things happen. So I'm not going to be negative on spontaneous devotionals, because I want you to know we have them a lot. But I think things have to be going on there. So if you got your outline again, they told me that we were supposed to follow these closely. And they didn't want you to have to take all the notes, so many notes, and so that's why we had them. So if you want to follow along, we'll try to stick to it as well as possible. Spontaneous devotionals are effective, but they can be misused. I think some of the toughest times I spend with my kids are when I'm supposed to be leading them in a worship period and I'm on rock bottom. Youth ministers get on rock bottom every once in a while. You think things are running smooth, and all of a sudden, one night after church, between church and devotional time, one parent balls you out and lets you have it up one side and down the other because your kid, you did not come and visit their kid who was in the hospital. If you're going to minister to these kids and they don't see any care and concern, how can they grow? And you say, well, you know, you didn't call the church. We didn't have any idea that in the hospital. Well, that's up to you to keep up. You know, and man, you can get chewed out. I tell my interns every time, I always want them to know, the first time that a parent ever hit me, I had been at Waterview less than a year, and I felt like the king of the youth ministry because things were going great, and I was loving every minute of it, and it was just beautiful, and it was just super grand, and I had a good rapport with the kids, and we were having a Christmas party, and I went in and announced, our, you know, reminded the kids again of our Christmas party. It was at the Ramada Inn, and it was a seated dinner, and it was dressy and all of this, and one of the guys jokingly said, what are we having, snails to eat? And I said, no, hamburgers and french fries. About like that, coming back at him. Well, the night of the party came, and we all came together, and I noticed that there was a guy that walked in that just had on a sport shirt and sport pants, but that was fine. He looked fine. And we all sat down, and we had our party together, and it was a big success, and I went home again feeling great. I wasn't married at that time, so I lived alone, and I was by myself, and the phone rang, and I went to the phone, and it was, you know, hello. This guy, the dad hits me. He said, I just want you to know that you have completely humiliated my son tonight. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, to tell him that to dress casual and everybody's there dressed up, everybody except him. I didn't tell him to dress casual. Well, you told him, you invited him to a hamburger fry. And I said, no, and I explained what happened. And boy, he lit into me and he said, John Paul, your yay should mean yay and your nay should mean nay. And that was exactly the words he used at me. And he said, until you prove yourself, I don't think I can let my children take part in your program. You know, boy, I hung up. And I was just bawling. I just started crying like everything. And I called Robert and I said, Robert. And I told him everything that happened. He said, consider the source. Well, it was hard for me to then. It's real easy for me to now. After 11 years, I've hardened myself. But sometimes you can be on rock bottom and you walk in, and it's time for you to have a beautiful devotional time with your kids. And so they'll start singing a song, and you're sitting there, and your mind's 1,000 miles away, and then there's just silence, and you realize, hey, nothing's happening. And, you know, your attitude plays a big part. And spontaneous devotionals, if we walk in, you know, and if we're not in the mood to do something, so we just say, well, tonight we'll have a spontaneous devotional. Everybody turn out the lights, bow your head, and guys, take over. And then you go back into depression. That's when spontaneous devotionals are misused. And it can hurt. Teenagers can tell if devotionals are planned. Teenagers can tell if things are good. And I can read them, and they can read me. They can tell if there's a purpose behind that devotional, or they can tell if it's just a filler. So we need to be really, really cautious. Devotionals should be used to help the teenager feel a closer relationship with God. I don't know any more to say about that. That's what our whole purpose should be. Not to create emotion. Not to make this a night that they'll never forget. Not to make it, you know, just, you know, this is the highlight of the retreat. Sometimes it almost sounds like we're doing that as we plan a devotional because we build up to a peak. But if it's a natural peak, if it's natural emotion, if it's things that's happened because of feeling on the inside, then that's good. And there's nothing wrong with it. But I have literally seen youth ministers who try to plan a crying devotional. You know, we judge the success by that devotional as to how much the kids cried. I have even had youth groups. I had one youth group that was an extremely emotional youth group. They really were, but it was natural, and so I didn't worry about it. But sometimes our devotionals would be really, really great, just really happy, and everything was going fine, and some of the girls would think, oh no, things are not good. And I would see them over there, you know, trying to make themselves cry. It was like, you know, almost trying to bring tears to their eyes because that was going to make it even better. No, it doesn't have to. If devotionals are worship periods, they're also perfect opportunities for us to train our young men in their leadership roles right here. Perfect opportunities. And how do we train them? First of all, we train them to conduct worship periods, taking an active role in prayer leading, in song leading, in scripture reading, whatever. It's also a good time to train them to use their creativity. Now, you're going to hear this a lot during this session. I'm a big buff on creativity. I love to use what God's given us up here. I think it's important. I think it's extremely important for us to stay up, and I think it's important for you to use your ideas as well as other people's. Now, some of you are going to write as hard as you can today, because I'm going to give you some neat ideas. But if you go home and use only mine, and you don't use some of your own, you're not going to feel good about it. And so, this is what I try to start training my guys real early. My puppet group that's here this week, I know they've been mad at me lately. Because I don't believe I should do the work for them. You know, we'll be doing something, I'll say, y'all go after it, and I'll be back. And I just walk out. And I might stay gone an hour. I might stay gone 2 hours. I might not even come to a rehearsal deal. Because I think it's important for our kids to be trained to use their own initiative and their own creativity. Mike, did you know I was doing that while I left y'all stranded? Okay. That's important. That's important. And it's important for you to let them do these things in devotionals. Also, it's time to train them to have an overall appreciation for worship periods. When your guys especially have been put in a role of leadership, they're going to appreciate even more what their dads and what the elders and deacons, and as they appreciate their devotional time, they start a growing appreciation for the worship service will develop, and you'll see this increase. And I think that's extremely important. Number two, and this is where we're going to get into the meat of our lesson today. Devotionals are a time to have creative worship periods. Devotionals are probably the one thing in the spiritual life of our teenagers that can become routine and monotonous as much as anything. Most of you youth ministers probably have a set time. Every other Sunday night you have a devotional. Every Wednesday night you have a devotional or whatever. You might be saying to yourself, yes, and my kids can't stand them. Our numbers are falling off. But what are you doing at them? What are you doing at your devotionals? What makes a devotional? Now, some of the things that we're going to do today, you'd probably say, well, I'd classify that more as a class than a devotional time. Well, what's a devotional? I want some of you to define your, give me your definition of what a devotional is right now. What is a devotional? That's very good. A special time to worship God. What else? Somebody give me another definition. What is a devotional to you? Very informal. Okay. Okay. A time for teenagers to be with people of their own age and share their feelings. I like all of these. Let's go on. Somebody else. Okay. A time for teenagers with other teenagers to express their devotion to God. What else? Okay. A personal time. Okay. And this is one of the things you're going to probably see in our emphasis today that I feel strongly about. I'm concerned through my devotional periods of what's happening on the inside of individuals. My kids get tired of me just stopping right in the middle of something and saying, all right, how are we feeling? My kids get tired of me giving them books to write in and me telling them to go off and spend 15 minutes to write how are we feeling? I don't think they really get tired of it. I think they're growing because of it. Because that's important for us to, like she says, it to be an individual, personal thing. And so we have to be careful not to let our devotionals become monotonous or routine. I think if it gets to a point where you see your devotionals falling off in a lack of interest because it's every Sunday night and we know what we're going to do when we walk in, then I'd change it. We went through a period about 3 years ago that our Sunday night devotionals just fell off, and we canceled them. Said for a while, we're not going to have the Sunday night devotionals, and the kids started coming up, but we always have. And see, they were real concerned about it because it was tradition. And they wanted us to be there because we had always had that. But yet when it was their choice, they chose not to come. So we just stopped it. And you know when we started again? When the kids started coming up to us saying, we miss it. Can't we have our Sunday night activities again? We'll see. And when it got to the point that I got tired of talking to kids about it and getting phone calls about it, then we started it up again. But then it was needed. And it was good. I think some things we have to remember here as far as avoiding monotony is to use different types of devotionals. Don't have spontaneous every week. On your retreats, on a time special outings with your kids, when you always close with a devotional, is it always that we sit around a fire? Is it always that we just sit around and the same people lead the songs and we know that we're going to sing the very same songs? And then we're going to have a chain prayer, and then we leave, and it's just the same routine. Change it up a little bit. Also, use different participants as your leaders. I've started doing something recently that's done us a whole lot of good. I would depend on people to just spontaneously lead our songs, and I've been just gradually calling on guys and say, I'm going to ask so-and-so to lead the song, and then so-and-so, and then so-and-so, and then after that, we'll just have some spontaneous singing. I've got guys leading our singing that never have done it before. And I don't care if one of our guys can't sing. You know, I'm one of these, I love good singing, but I don't think the Lord cares whether we're in harmony or not. And I don't think because a person's a bad singer, we should never ask him to lead a song. I don't care if we started blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams. If he wants to, let's do it. And you know what I've seen develop every time this happens? We might have some guys that start songs pathetically. But we've got some girls that are really neat to just come right in on the soprano and sing it in tune, and all of a sudden everybody just slides up to it on tune, and we just go along and it sounds great. And we finish that song, and that guy's sitting there saying, you did a pretty good job, didn't I? And he never knows it. He never knows it. But the important thing is his leadership there, and that's what we're after. Change times for devotionals. Being as creative with your times and methods as possible. When I was in Irving, we had one of the neatest devotional times that we've ever had because we had them every Sunday night, and they became routine. And we had an old clothing house in behind our building that it was just stored with old clothes, and I think some of them had been there since Pocahontas because it was just, it smelled. You know how an old clothing room smells? Well, we had a whole house, and it was pathetic. Well, we met one Saturday morning at 5:30 because we were going to pretend like we were the early Christians, and if we met, we were persecuted. And so we had to get in the center room, and we lit a candle, and we had our devotional around that candle. And right in the middle of the devotional, someone heard some noise out there, and they became afraid, so they blew the candle out. It was like we were in the catacombs or something like that. But it was one of the neatest experiences, and we had one of the biggest crowds to turn out at 5:30 in the morning. Why? Because it was different. We'd never done it. Some kids who never would come on Sunday night because it was just a little unique. Change setting for your devotionals to avoid routine. If you always have it at one place, go somewhere else. And that'll help quite a bit. Creative methods used in devotionals. Let's talk with those just for a little while. And we're going to give you some specifics here. Discussion type devos will use the resources of all those participating. And I've got two little subtopics here. Provide small group or large assembly sharing times. provide activities that will initiate discussion. One of the things that I really try for, like I mentioned a while ago, is I like for our kids in a devotional time to share how they're feeling. Maybe through a situation, give them an opportunity to relate to each other. We talk about these things, give them an opportunity to do it. One of the neatest devotional times our kids have ever had, and we've done it quite often, is we just have everybody stand up and they pin a piece of paper on their back. Probably you've done it. But they pin a piece of paper on their back and everybody has a pencil. And we give them 15 minutes. And no one can say a word, but they just go around and they write things on each other's back. And everything they write has to be positive. If they have anything negative to say, then they just don't write on that person's back. And they just write and write and write and write. And we give them 15 minutes. And at the end of 15 minutes, I say, okay. And everybody starts screaming, no, 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 I haven't finished. That's good. We don't want them to be through, because we want them to do it again. And so we give them 15 minutes and we stop and say, all right, everybody sit down. And they all sit down. And we talk about it for a minute and you see their hands going behind their back because they can't wait to get that off because they want to read what people, you know, and talk to them for a while and they're just about to panic. And then finally you say, all right, take it off of your back and go off by yourself and read what people have said. They take it off. All sorts of emotions. And when they bring up, when they come back, all I usually do is just say, Shannon, why the tears? And boy, she starts talking. And so, why the big smile? And just let them share. Let them tell you why they're feeling the way they're feeling. Let them really share with each other. And this creates a closeness with each other and a closeness with God. Okay. Drama, or role play, can also be used to introduce effective worship periods. We're going to do something right now that I'm confident in, but we've got a new person in one of our roles. This is a role play that we've done on our junior high retreat. We did it in a devotional period with our senior high. That can be one of the best starters for discussion you can have. And I'm going to use one person that's done it with me both times, but then we're going to use one person we just brought in today to show you that you can pick somebody up right before class and say, I need your help to do this. But we're going to do a modern day version of the prodigal son through role play. And then we're going to handle it as we would, you know, in a devotional situation. So if you all bear with us just for a minute, and you might, some of you at the back, we're going to have to do it down here for space, so some of you at the back might have to stand up, and we'll talk as loud as we possibly can. Okay? I'm going to play the part of the father. Cecil is the older son, and Greg is the younger son. Okay?
Pretty. It's just great.
Like
a
car, Cecil?
No, that's good. Well, that's good. I don't know. You know, I remember my first car. Far from a Trans Am.
Was
it
Model T then?
No, it wasn't that bad. But it was one of those oldies.
It's good. Well, I tell you what, I've got to go. You know, I've got a date tonight. You know, you get a Trans Am, all the girls want to go out with you, so I just better go take care of that right now. I'll see you later.
Okay.
See you.
Good deal.
Dad, I got to be going too. I got a lot of stuff to do tonight.
Well, Greg, so. I need to talk to you. Greg?
Sir?
I need to talk to you.
But Dad, I got to hurry. Greg? I got to take a shower.
Greg?
Can we make this quick?
Well, I don't know whether it will be or not. Just got this little deal through the mail today, and from the bank. It's says that you have overdrawn your account by about $1,500.
So, you got the money. Just put some in there.
I mean, so, you know, this money was for a purpose, Greg. And it's not for you to just go off and spend any way that you want to.
It's my money.
Greg,
I can spend it any way I want.
No, it's not your money yet. When your mother died, she left you this money for your education, for your future, and not for you to be.
She left that money for me to do anything I wanted to
do.
I want to spend it.
That's all that you ever listened to your mother say. If you had ever listened to her to know that she wanted a little more for you than that, you would know that she had plans for you. So, I think we need to have some understanding about your money. If not, then I'm going to have to take your bank account away from you. No checks can be written.
My mother left that money for me to do anything I wanted with.
No.
And I want to do anything I want. I'm getting tired of this. My mother left that money for me, and I'm going to take it. I want it. Just give me all of it. I want out of this.
Would you listen to me for 1 minute, please, and quit trying to think of only you, okay? I am getting sick and tired of you only being concerned with what you want. And you didn't even listen to other people, and you think they're only concerned about you. Your mother wasn't, Greg. She wanted what was best for you, not only what you wanted. And I think it's high time that you realize it. If you're going to stay in this house, you're going to live by our rules, okay?
I want out, then. I want out. I'm going to leave. So just give me what is mine, and I'll leave. I want out. Now.
You take it. Greg? Okay, second scene.
Wherever Cecil is.
He didn't want what we had. He always wanted something else, just him. Something for him.
Maybe one of these days he'll want it. And I'm going to be here when he comes back.
And you just take him back, just like that. You just say, come on, Greg. He's my son.
He's my son.
How can... I don't want to do any more of this right now. This is just too much.
do anything. I'll do anything. I'll do anything.
Cecil!
Yeah, Dad?
Who's that? Well, look what the cat said.
Cecil, he's home. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess I think sorry too.
I look like that.
He's missing.
What?
Almost all of his friends. After this, we come up with a discussion
of three rows.
We usually just put three stools out here and let each three characters sit down and talk for a minute about their role. And which one did you identify with most? Were you the younger son? Were you the oldest son? Who is the Father? Father was God. And no matter which one we relate to as either the older or the youngest son, we all can relate to the Father. This was probably one of the strongest growth times our kids experienced. Now, that emotion. His presence. A lot of times, the reason we don't want things to be devotionals is because devotionals are supposed to be easy. These ministers, I'm going to step on your toes for a little while, okay? And as I do so, I'm stepping on mine. Devotionals have come to be an easy way out for us. Been a time of time fillers. There's been a time you don't have to think planned, that the kids do it. And they haven't been growth times for our kids. And they need to be. You people that are working with kids that are not full-time youth ministers, you can do exactly what we've done right now. It just takes a little get together and plan. Our kids love role playing. Our kids like to role play. They like to do it themselves. But use this as a different method for your devotional times. Number three, slide presentations or movies create thought-provoking times. Oh, I'm sorry.
That better? Slide presentations or movies can create some thought-provoking times. And here, once again, you can do some really, really special things with this if you just let your creativity run wild a little bit. One of our devotional times for a family time that we had together, we just showed some home movies. Home movies of a family reunion when kids that are now grown were really, really, really little. And we played some music in the background that brought back a whole lot of memories. And things like this can be used. Another thing that can be done as far as your worship time together, like on retreats for a special devotional, we went out to the local TV station and asked them if they would give us all of their old rolls of commercials. You know, they send all these commercials to the local TV stations and they're on little bitty rolls, and they just play one of those through there and they quit using it. And we got about three big old boxes of little spindles about this big, full of all the commercials that they had used. And we were having a devotional, I mean, we were having a retreat that weekend based on family relations. The theme of the retreat was clean up your own room. And what we meant was, you know, your role in the family relation is extremely important, and make sure you're doing all you can do before we start criticizing mom, dad, brother, and sister. So based on this, we gave the kids 2 hours and asked them to take all of these spindles off, and they had to come up with their own movie presentation based on the theme of clean up your own room. So they had to look through all this stuff, you know, and they'd see something that they liked, and they'd cut it off, and they spliced it together. And not only did they make their movie, but they also wrote their own script to this movie. Some of them were hilarious, but they had a point. Some of them were hilarious and didn't have a point. Some of them were not even hilarious. But, you know, but they were special because they had done it. And that night, we took our projector down, and for one of our devotional times, we showed all of these things that the kids had put up. And that was very, very special. Devotionals centered around the cross can be extremely effective with your kids. Things like giving them an opportunity in a devotional situation for each one of them to carry the cross for a certain length of time and space. To let the crowd walk on either side of them and for them to carry the cross on their back. The devotional where each person is given a 3x5 card and they write on this card a sin that they want to get rid of and they want to nail to the cross. And a devotion that the cross is up front. Each one of them is given an old rusty nail. And there's a big hammer up front, and during the devotional, as we're singing, as they want to, they take that card up, turn it over, and they nail that sin to the cross. Well, the effect of hearing that hammer hit those nails is unbelievable when you know that it's nailing a personal sin of yours to the cross. We did one thing that was very, very special and was one that was extremely thought-provoking. Now, when I tell you, you're going to say, but we couldn't do that. Yes, you can. Didn't cost very much at all. We take our kids on a ski retreat every year. We take them up into Colorado and we ski. Lately, we've been driving back into town staying. We used to stay at a lodge, and I think we're thinking strongly about doing that this year because I think our kids are missing out on some of the devotional times. We were at a lodge one time in New Mexico, in Cipapu, New Mexico, and we were having a meeting, our devotional area in the big meeting room downstairs. And there's this side of the wall, there was a great big fireplace. On this side, it was just solid windows all the way across. And behind those windows were the ski slopes, but it was night, no one could see anything. We had nailed our sins to the cross. And then we all turned around, and we sat facing the window, which looked like we were facing darkness, but we were really looking at the ski slopes. And all of a sudden, as we sang from the top, we had four people, three sponsors and one of our teenage boys who was there. They were extremely good skiers. And the first guy lit a road flare at the very top of that ski slope, and he skied all the way down with that red road flare going. And he skied to the bottom, and there was a cross at the bottom of that ski slope, and he put this road flare at the base of that cross. The next guy lit his, and he skied down, and he put his at the top, and then the next two, one on either side. And for about 15 minutes, that side of that mountain glowed red. And that cross was silhouetted in that glow. As the road flares burned, they dripped. And they dripped red. I didn't have to say a word. We just let the kids talk. And what did they see? And what were they feeling? Things came out like, it's funny that from the same place that a lot of fun and a lot of enjoyment came today, tonight comes the true meaning of why we're here. It's pretty strong. But again, we let them have time to think. Now, some of you said, isn't that just sort of appealing to emotion? In a way. But I think that's sincere emotion, because if I'm around the cross, and if the cross makes me cry, praise the Lord for that. And I don't think it hurts us every once in a while to cry a little bit. And so, things like that can be really, really special. I think a lot of our devotionals need to be centered on the cross. And if you don't have a cross, if you haven't already made one, out of 4x4 boards, or make you one, because you can do so much with that thing. And it can be really, really special. Spontaneous devotionals, we talked about, where we just let the boys take over. Let them use their own creativity. Maybe give them some warning ahead of time so they can do something really, really special and use their creativity there. Devotionals, using learning activities. I never will forget one Sunday we were talking about, we had been talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Some devotional time together. One of the boys stood up and he just interrupted the whole group and he said, I just realized one thing that I've got to share with the whole group. He said, I've just realized that, you know, all my life I've had a fear that one day I would live to see the day when communism took over this earth. He said, all my life I've been taught to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, inside I've thought that can never happen because the church is too small. It's too weak. And big old tears came in his eyes and he said, in other words, I've had more faith and confidence in the Lord's in communism than I have in the Lord's church. That's pretty strong. But he said all that I wanted to say that day. And I think times like this, when we can cause them to think, and that's why I like learning activities, because it gives them a chance for them to come up with their own thoughts rather than me constantly telling them how they ought to be thinking. That's when we're going to see growth. Devotionals from nature. Now, we're not going to spend much time on this because we have a class tomorrow on how to use the outdoors in teaching teens, and we're going to do most of the nature things in that particular time. But there are some of the most exciting things that you can do based on nature. And let me just give you one example. Every year we have a mother's retreat that all of our junior high kids and their moms go on a retreat together. And it's a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Year before last, we gave each one of the mothers and their kids a 1 foot square piece of styrofoam. We told them that we wanted them to take this piece of styrofoam on a 1 hour nature hike. And they were supposed, the theme of that retreat was tomorrow. And they were supposed to use things of nature and this piece of styrofoam and depict a display of tomorrow. We told them to go walking for an hour. So they came back, and for our devotional time, sharing time afterwards, they each got up and one, they were, all of them were great, but one I'll never forget. This one mother and her son had taken the piece of styrofoam, and across this styrofoam, there was just big old rocks all the way across it. And right in the middle, the rocks had been built into a bridge. On this side, leading toward that bridge, were a whole lot of rusted Coke bottle tops that they had found, and a lot of thorns and dead leaves and dead grass and thistles and things like that all over on this side. And on the other side of that bridge where the rusted Coke bottle tops stopped, there were yellow flowers that continued that path all the way across, and fresh flowers and greenery all on here. And this was today. The struggles of the world today and all the sin and temptation and frustration in their life, but tomorrow was the streets of gold and all the beauty and freshness that God had promised. All right, a lot happened there. How many mothers and their junior high boys sit down and talk about things like that? Not very often. And they had an hour together to go off and spend. And all it cost was a piece of 12-inch styrofoam. But the meat of the lesson came from what God had given us in nature. And that's what made it really, really special. So we're going to talk about more of nature tomorrow. I wish we could go on right now. I get all excited talking about it, but we better stop because I won't have anything to talk on tomorrow. But let's stop here. Unless any questions, any comments you want to make so far on using these times. Are we seeing that maybe devotionals are a little more than what we thought they were in the past? That devotionals don't have to be just a time of sitting together and singing songs and praying? All right, questions or comments here? Of course, they're there on our retreat when they come, you know, when the moms are there. Then on Sunday nights when we have our activities, we have so many sets of parents that help with our meal, provide our meal, and we always invite them in. I don't think it inhibits the kids, but the parents always stay way to the back. And you know what I think that is sometimes? I think they feel left out because I don't think they feel where the kids are at that particular time. They don't know the kids' songs. They don't. Parents are not given opportunities to talk about how they feel and where I'm at right now. And a lot of times it's a situation, let me share something that happened. It's happened twice, but this year again. I had a mother come up to me and she said, "Keith loved the retreat." So we went home and we have never sat down and talked like we talked this time. But she said, "John Paul, it was unbelievable." She said, "It was Wednesday before he was back to normal." You know, why does he have to get back to normal? What's normal? You know, why can't our families pick up and keep on sharing this? That's where I feel like that's our biggest struggle right there. And that's why a lot of times our kids go home from devotional times together like this. And there's no way parents say our kids won't talk with us. I can understand why some kids don't. Because they don't want everything turned off when they try to. It might periodically, you know, I don't know of specifics or anything along that line. Hope so. Any other questions, comments?
Do you play most of
the devotionals? For retreats and things like that, you know, this is the joy of having interns. You know, we'll get together, Greg and I sit down, and we just start brainstorming. And then we think of something, and then it just, you know, and he'll say, "Well, and we could," and he gets all excited, and we could also, and you know, before too long, we've got something really neat that we're proud of. But so many times, you know, if we've never tried it before, it's like, let's hope it works. But if it's for the right reasons, usually it does. And so a lot of good brainstorming comes in there. I'm glad you brought that up. We're beginning to hear a lot of good excuses now. Mm-hmm. You know, gas, energy crisis, you know. We have just got to do the bare necessities. We're just not going to be able to run back and forth like we have been. So, you know, our kids are going to have to go home with us. Now, y'all have got me on my soapbox now, okay? Because those are the same parents that I guarantee you will have them at every soccer practice every afternoon and go to every soccer game Friday night and Saturday night, and I'm getting madder as I talk about it. But people, you know, we've got kids that drive from other towns into our program. and they're some of our most active kids. Lubbock is probably one of the most spread out, hardest places to get around places you've ever seen in your life.
Amen.
Amen. It takes me 20 minutes to get from my house to the church building. And so I don't think that has to be an excuse. I think that's when that's training our parents. We've got some kids in our youth program that bless their hearts, work their heads off every week to make money to support their own cars, and they end up playing taxi every single night because some parents will not come after their kids. And it makes me sort of angry when I go by to pick kids up and there's three cars sitting in the driveway. But I'll do it because I love the kids, and I'm not angry at the kids, but I question the parents there. And this is where we've got to discipline and train our parents. The best support I have had from a congregation came from the congregation where the pulpit man publicly supported me from the pulpit. It's got to come from there. And I know exactly what you're saying because I remember my first sermon that I preached on parent-child relationships, and I was 23 years old and I was single. And a deacon in the church came up to me and wanted to know, since when did a young little whippersnapper like me know how to tell them to raise their kids? And I wanted so bad to say, I think I probably know your kids better than you do. Now, I'm not getting off on a soapbox. Yeah, I am too. But I really think that sometimes we as the youth ministers get to know kids, some sides of them better than the parents do. I believe that, and I'm not saying that to be egotistical or anything. We know a spiritual side of them that the parents sometimes don't know. And you can argue all you want to that youth ministers have to be young. I'm having my most fun right now because the parents respect me. All of a sudden, I'm the age of some of them. I have my own children, and I've become an authority. And they're listening now. And you young little whippersnappers out there, you just know that you're going to grow up one of these days. And it's tough on you right now. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's hard right now.
I don't want to negate anything that you're saying on that, but I think parents also know a side of kids that we don't know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Kids put on, they're different in different situations.
And so what does that mean?
It means we need to communicate.
We need to be working with them. We need to be working with them. The parents, the families that I'm closest to are the families that we sit down and we really know the other side of the story with. And I agree. You're not negating a thing. I agree wholeheartedly with you. Try to. It's hard. And I don't do it as much as I have in the two previous places I've been. But, you know, it's sad to say, a lot of times at lunch, I'll call a dad and ask him if I can have lunch with him. You know what the first response is? Yeah, they'll be fine, but what's wrong? There's always something wrong if we try to spend time. Okay, let's run on real quick. I think we need to make devotionals as much of a positive experience as possible. And I've listed four things here that I think are extremely really strong, and I've broken every one of them. Devotionals should not be used as a time for discipline or to reprimand, but as a growth experience. Sometimes I can be on rock bottom, and I can go in and destroy the night for my teenagers. Because if I go in and they've been singing all these beautiful praises to God and everything, neat things happening, and then I stand up and say, I think it's time that you kids realize something. And I want you to know, and boy, I just lecture them good, you know, like they need sometimes. But I think that there's a time and place for it, and And devotionals are not that time. If we want them to grow, then it needs to be a growth experience for them. We could have a whole lesson on discipline right there, but we won't. All right, number two. Devotionals should never be a threat to participants. I've had parents call me and say, John, one recently, the mother said, John Paul, you know why Todd's not coming to devotionals anymore? And I said, why? And she said, because he said every time he comes, you call on him to lead a prayer, and it scares him to death. Well, I needed to know that. Todd's coming to devotionals now because I'm not calling on him to lead prayers now. He's got to grow to that point and want to do it. But, you know, communication there again, and it doesn't need to be a threat to them. Sometimes the situations where we ask the kids to relate how they're feeling can be a threat to some people. That's why we don't ask for public participation from everybody necessarily, because they can determine how they're feeling, you know, in their own minds and still grow from that. But don't make it a threat to somebody. And three, devotionals should not be so long that they lose their effectiveness. Okay? Okay. I think the fear comes primarily when you're really good at spontaneous things. And they don't ever know, you know, most of the time you're talking to those guys there. And you're saying, you know, why and will you do this? And giving them some warning, I think that helps them a whole lot. But when you're just really good at saying, all right, we're going to ask so-and-so to do so-and-so. And if it puts them on the spot to the point and they're not prepared, I don't think that's good for them. If I ask them beforehand and they just say no, I usually don't use them. You know, I try to keep encouraging them, but I don't. I think maybe we're talking about two different things, because I'm primarily concerned about throwing them off guard to the point of embarrassment, and then they feel humiliated there. Is that what you're saying? But I think, you know, we can use our time to train those and try to spend time with them. Or that's my goal and objective.
I was going to say, along the same lines, general persuasion to those kids, once you know are ready, just haven't made that last step. You can't force them. Mm-hmm. The general persuasion over a long period of time, it won't happen this week or next 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to continually let them know that you expect them to leave, because if you don't,
you know, I'm not saying that I don't ever call on somebody that I haven't asked, but I usually know that it doesn't completely scare them to death, you know. And usually they're pretty proud of themselves after they've done it. Okay? Let's go on to number three. Devotionals should not be so long that they lose their effectiveness. I don't think you need to set, you know, our devotional is going to last from 9 to 10. Because if you start having a devotional and by 9:20, if you see that there's no, you know, everybody's just sort of dead, it needs to end at 9:20. I don't think there needs to be a time set on something. If it gets too long to lose its effectiveness, then it can be bad. There have been times I agree with Too Short. The same situation. If you're having a good devotional, And on your schedule, you're supposed to go play baseball now, but and they're right in the middle of something. I don't believe in saying, all right, time's up. You know, I think you've got to just sort of play it by ear there and let it run its course there. And number four, devotionals should create natural emotion rather than to play on emotions. I think we've talked about that enough. How to organize or plan a devotional. I think, first of all, you have to determine the needs of the participants. You know, if you've got a retreat or a class situation with 25 members who are all members of the church, you're not going to want to have a devotional based on the plan of salvation. And I think you need to determine needs there. If your kids are not close, that gives you a good need right there that you can center some thoughts on and some activities around. Establish aims or objectives in your devotionals. What do you want to accomplish? What do you hope will happen when that's over? C, determine best method to reach objective. If you can decide on role play or if you decide on learning activities or whatever, determine which method will best reach that objective. Don't go home and use something just because it sounds neat. Make sure it's meeting a goal or meeting an objective. And finally, organize and plan the method chosen. Okay. After a method is established, make a list of materials and supplies needed, and then determine the time and place. You know, a lot of it, guys, is just our attitude. Make sure that every devotional you plan is also a time of growth for you. I think that's one of the neatest things that I enjoy with my interns, because we grow together through these devotionals too, and probably the two of us share as much talking about that growth as anybody, and that's why we get close, because we talk about what happens. And we let these growth times be a time of growth for us. We have a deal at Lubbock Christian College. It's called Encounter. And every summer, the first full week in June, we invite 20 youth ministers to come to LCC and to teach in this Bible camp situation. They teach their classes three times a day, and it lasts from all day Monday through all day Friday. And so each kid gets to go to 15 classes. And each youth minister brings an experiential type situation. It's almost a devotional type atmosphere in the classroom. And one of the things that we hear every year through this time, and it's a beautiful time of growth, I think it's one of the strongest things done for youth groups anywhere. One of the things that we hear every year, it's always interesting to me to hear the teachers talking, because they teach the same class three times a day for 5 days. You know, at the end of Wednesday, it's like 9 down and 6 to go. And Friday, one of the toughest things for us to do is to walk into that class, and for the 15th time, you know, it's to the point you've got that class down. You know when you raise your hand and when you lower it, you know when you walk across the deal, and it becomes, you know, you almost feel like a robot, because at this point I lean forward and I say this. And the thing we have to struggle with and work hardest is that every time we're in there, we've got to be growing too. And what helps is a new group and their excitement and their enthusiasm. Once I start, I don't find a problem if that enthusiasm is there. Now, if I've got 30 kids that are tired, and I'm already tired, and they're sitting there, you hear everybody talking about their bum classes. And what are we really saying? We weren't really growing from it. So we, as far as our attitude is concerned, we need to make sure that it's always a growth time for you. We need to make sure that never are these devotionals merely a job. It's expected of us, and so that's why we do them. Maintain our own excitement, and finally, make sure that our needs are being met too. Devotionals are one of the neatest times that we can spend with our kids, but they're some of the most misused, and I hope we've challenged you today to make them the highlight of your ministry or your time with your teenagers. Thank y'all.